This is County Close Up, news from Halliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
Chris Weissflog has spent the last 20 years helping people reduce their carbon footprint by designing and building homes, cottages, restaurants, and other businesses that are environmentally sound, affordable, and sustainable. That's why Environment Halliburton is thrilled to host him at an upcoming seminar on how to reduce carbon emissions in our home. The seminar takes place this Saturday, September 12th at 10 a.m. at the Halliburton Museum. Susan Hay, president of Environment Halliburton and Weissflog, sat down with Canoe FM recently to talk about how just making a few changes in your home can reduce carbon emissions, thereby lessening the impact of climate change.
Well, a great amount of the carbon emissions that we produce in our daily lives is through heating our homes and through our transportation. And the world is going electric, and for good reason. Electricity produces a lot less emissions than burning fossil fuels. And I wanted to do something that would promote the idea of using heat pumps, electric vehicles, and also building our homes with low carbon footprint materials and heating our homes with low carbon types of furnaces. I just encourage people to come learn more about heat pumps and anything electrical, and also how we can build our homes with low carbon materials. That is Chris's specialty, I think, is he's very aware of the carbon footprint of all the materials that go into the building of a home.
Weissflog heads up EcoGen Energy and Build, a firm that constructs envelopes to passive houses levels or better with energy efficient HVAC systems, clean energy generation, and construction techniques using environmentally low impact materials. He says even small changes made within existing homes will make a difference in the long run. And the reason behind the movement to low carbon is obvious, he says.
I'm going to start with the why. It's about climate change. And so that's what leads us necessarily to the aspect of carbon emissions. It's a bit of a historical walkthrough of the 20 plus or so years that I've been involved in this business. And so a bit of the history there, and it's good background because it's all about carbon and it's all about getting our emissions down. The context we're going to eventually get to in this presentation is about the buildings that we build, because that's what the topic of this presentation is about. But the background really helps because it's really a story of working through how can we best help people reduce their emissions. In the history of the business, we started out doing renewable energy, starting initially with solar water heating and solar air heating, and then into HVAC design in some of the cases where some of the projects we've done where we linked the solar water heating into the heating systems of the homes and the air heating as well. We looked at passive house design and build sort of midway through. We started into designing and building passive homes where we could use our renewable energy and our HVAC experience and knowledge to reduce the carbon footprint even further. Because everything we did was with a focus on how can we do this without burning carbon, or how much carbon can we get people get out of their lives. A big aspect of this, which I need to draw on, is our emissions are not just simply what the tailpipe or what we burn, we call it the operational expense, if you want, in a business term, OPEX. Versus CapEx. So OPEX is how much do we burn through as we work or as we operate our buildings or our vehicles. A CapEx is how much went into it, like the upfront cost. So you can do the same thing with carbon. We can look at CapEx for carbon, which is how much carbon went into the building itself. And then the OPEX is how much carbon comes out of it as we operate it. We're going to focus as well on the materials and the ways that we build so that we can reduce the environmental impact of the actual building itself. And so, for instance, steel has a really high carbon content. Concrete has a really high carbon content. So we want to minimize the use of those materials. Other materials, like you've heard straw bale. Straw bale has a negative impact. It actually is a fast-growing material that takes a lot of carbon out of the atmosphere and puts it into the material itself. We don't use straw bale because that requires a particular type of construction method that requires skill sets that are very rare, unique, and typically results in a type of building that may not be as marketable. If we stick with something that looks, shall we say, quote unquote, normal, and we use materials that are low impact, we can actually theoretically get the impact of the building to zero in terms of material. Because again, just like straw, some materials actually have a negative impact on the carbon. That's actually positive from our perspective, but from an accounting perspective, it's negative because they sequester carbon into the material. So you actually suck carbon out of the air when the material is growing. They're also called biomaterials, and nature does it for you. And then you take what nature has taken the carbon out of the atmosphere, you take that material and you put it into your house. What we've done is we've chosen to focus on wood, and cellulose. So in this case, cellulose is renewable, reused material. Think your newspapers and your cardboard boxes, and they get ground up and mixed with some borate to make them last longer and protect them against rodents and like mice and insects. And they go into your wall and become a very stable material. So we work with cellulose. So that just gives you an idea. We optimize our use of materials that sequester carbon, and we minimize the ones that require a lot of carbon in their manufacturing. So there's the approach that we take. And so we're going to look at a history of projects and how we evolved our knowledge of how to reduce the emissions content of materials, building with those materials, what kind of homes we've been able to produce that allow people who like that to optimize their way they live.
Weisflog says the main obstacle to encouraging a mindset change that leans towards lessening our carbon footprint is a lack of awareness of what's possible, what's on the market, and how to incorporate new technology or materials into their lives.
I think that the biggest issue is the lack of awareness and education, knowledge. If you're not aware that this is possible, and this not only goes for the consumer side, but also for the provider side. I think a lot of tradespeople, whom people who are homeowners go to for this knowledge, be they HVAC builders, they know what they do and they have to be cost competitive, but they don't spend a lot of time in research because, of course, they have to be turning tools to make money. And so there's not a lot of awareness among both the providers and the consumers. So they don't know what is the art of the possible. I'm a great advocate of retrofitting where it's possible. And there are times in retrofits in the lifetime of a home when it's more cost effective to do the retrofit than not. And so if you came after getting a new furnace and said, what about a heat pump? It may not be the most cost effective thing to do because you just invested. But maybe in 10 years, when you have to spend that money, there's a stronger case. Same thing goes for more insulation. If your house's windows and your siding are really old, you got to do it anyway. So why not add more insulation and new windows at the time? Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's market like awareness. Sometimes it's the market can't provide. There's a lot of factors. So I don't know what the biggest one is, but I can tell you, we focus on building new and we focus on building really high performance buildings. And so there's a different dynamic. Our buildings use heat pumps that are so small, I can almost not find one small enough for it because they're that efficient. Now, you take a house that's mid-range on efficiency, there's a lot of products, the heat pump is right size. You take a really old house that leaks a lot of air, has very low insulation, and it requires a massive furnace. Often the best thing is you need someone who has a comprehensive knowledge of all of these things. How can we make that house more efficient, very cost effectively? Because that's often the best route for that homeowner. And you can say, okay, we're going to reduce the amount of energy it needs by giving it better insulation, more windows, and a heat pump. Ignorance of the complete solution is often one of the barriers that people have. Retrofit is 95, 98, 99, who knows what, is massive amount of the market share because most people are happy where they are and they just want to improve the situation and they want to save money where they are. The reality is that we, with climate change, we have to get them off fossil fuel. And the route to doing that is what those government programs have all been oriented around, which is reducing the air leakage in your home, making more airtight, providing more insulation, which often better windows as well. That's mostly the insulation, air tightness, and then changing the heat provision, whether from fossil fuel over to a heat pump. And we can generate electricity as well. That helps for sure. Those are the main thrust lines to get them to a better situation.
Weisflog is hoping attendees of the seminar leave armed with the information they need to take action in their homes against climate change and reducing their carbon emissions.
There's more to the emissions coming out of a home than just simply the stuff that comes out of a chimney. There's a thought that needs to go into the materials you use as well. So that's number one. Number two, I want them to know that it is possible to reduce the footprint of a home to basically zero and that it's not expensive. Again, to boil it all down, what they should walk away with is understanding that there's what comes out the tailpipe, if you will, or the smokestack, and there's what goes into it in terms of the materials. Those should be considerations, but also some of the more nuanced aspects like what they can have in a home and that it doesn't have to look futuristic or modern to be high efficiency. It can look old. It can look normal. But there's all kinds of hidden value in the high performance.
Weisflog's presentation will be followed by a 20-minute Q&A session. The event takes place 10 a.m. on Saturday, September 12th at the Halliburton Museum. No registration is required.
County Close-Up is made possible through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. You can find more stories from Halliburton County on canoefm.com and frequencynews.ca. This is Elizabeth Oakley for County Close-Up.